thank you, God, that you are in control. You did not see this thing and was caught off guard, but Father, you have made a way. Even in this time that is devastating to the family, we ask that you comfort them, Lord God. We ask that you really heal them, Lord God. We pray for the family, not just the family members that are here, but all the family, that you would use this, God, to draw back your people to you. Use it in a way that you will be glorified. And as this message you have given to me, Father, I pray that everyone would have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week we started, or I started, to preach about dominion. Our common theme is about dominion, but dominion in our praise and our worship. And last week I used the Praise the Roof Off as a example of what we've learned. We've learned three things about ourselves. We've learned why we weren't in unity. We've learned that first there was a spirit of unbelief. We can't believe that this would happen. Well, you better believe we're in a war. This is real. A spirit of fear. People want to just stay where they're at. Just my four, no more, God. That's not what he's calling to. And a spirit of independence. I want to do what I want to do. And God, you get on my page. And that's why the enemy takes advantage of us through life experiences. God's not caught unaware. We are. We're the ones duped to believe that we're in control and we can handle this. And no one's going to find out. But God sees everything. Amen? Last week I started talking about confession. What our confession looks like. And a lot of times we're confessing the wrong things. We're confessing how loathsome we are. We're confessing how rotten we are. We're confessing and believing we're still those people. But the reality of the truth is you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And your confession of what comes out of your mouth actually builds your future. There are six things that our confession is relegated on. I delineated them last week. I will give them to you again so we can build this onward. One is to publicly declare our relationship with Almighty God and our allegiance to Him. Not that we're saved, but we're allegiant to Him, which means His will supersedes my will. And I will do whatever the King wants at whatever expense it is to me. Personally. Two, it consists in our belief in God's Son, Jesus. Do you really believe in Jesus? You know, a lot of us came to Jesus because we had a period of desperation. And then once He straightened that out and He wants to lead us, we're still leading our own lives thinking we can get away with it. Being a new creature, new creation, means that your old things have passed away. You have a new life in Jesus Christ. And it's because of what Jesus has done for us that we owe Him our allegiance on a deeper scale than what it is. Three, that God the Son came in the flesh. Do you really believe that Jesus came in the flesh 2,000 years ago? Jesus walked the earth. Do we really believe it? Or do we look at the scriptures and say, well, this is fairy tale. This is fairy tale. Well, I can tell you this much. When Jesus rose from the dead, He said, beam me up, Father. Scotty was not involved. Technology is such that those realities are now becoming a reality. But God, 2,000 years ago, showed us He lives in that reality. Four, that Jesus not only paid for our sins, the price of our sins, He took the penalty to meet God's righteous requirements of the law. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing evil, so evil, that will inhibit you from receiving the love of God. Yeah, those things hurt. Those things are real. You know, we're broken. Our emotions are tied to people we love. And some of the things is, how could this happen? How come we didn't see this? Well, I'll give you the answer in a little bit. 5, Jesus died not only to pay the penalty of sin, but he became our Lord. The moment he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. Did you die? Did you rise from the dead? Do you sit on the right hand of the Father? Then you're not Lord. We act like we are, but we have to understand we are part of a kingdom that already exists. And if we are not fulfilling God's will, we have a whole lot of tension, frustration, anxiety, you name it. But when you succumb to the will of God, things change. Really, they change. And 6, finally, our confession no longer focuses on what we were. Focuses totally on Almighty God and what he is able to do. Eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for them who love him and are called according to his purposes. You have been called. God is still calling to you. He has a plan for your life. And it's real important that we understand that, one, our confession should be open in this arena, in worshiping God. I think no one understands that more than anybody, because the devil does not want God to use no one in a specific area. But no one has changed. He has let God take over his life. And no matter what has happened to him, he's going full bore ahead with God. The question is, are you? I would encourage you to read Romans 12:2 and really dissect where you're at and really begin to open yourself up to what God is saying to the end time church. Today I would like to continue with part 2 of this series, our confession. If you would turn to 2 Chronicles 20, we will read 13 through 19. This is the message. It's very close to what I'm reading from, which is the New Living Testament. It says, "All the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, children. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeruel, son of Methaniah, a Levite who was descendant of Asaph." And the reason for the genealogy is he was from the prophets. He was a prophet. And the Spirit of God came upon the prophet. He said, "Listen, all you people." I like to use that, "you people." "Of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Whatever you're going through is not your battle. What the enemy wants to do is to keep you from praising and worshiping God and throwing things into your life that will devastate you. How can I praise God when this is going on?" We experienced that in intercession. When God was speaking and saying to us, praise him. And we're saying, what do we got to praise you for? That you're my son. That I love you. That I've adopted you into my kingdom. You have an inheritance. And he began to list a litany of things that he has done. And if you read verses 1 through 12, you will see that the confession always precedes the action of God. God says, tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out tomorrow and meet them, for the Lord is with you. No matter what happens in our lives, he is with us. And there is a purpose why he is with us. One, to bring us under his rulership and authority. But two, to bring comfort to us when things like this is devastating us. Just think about it. In verses 1 through 12, when the confession of the faith was happening, we had three specific armies coming against Jehoshaphat. He didn't know what to do. But he went to God. He knew enough, he had enough sense to go to God. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the king. Bowing down. I would rather bow down now than be forcibly bowing my knee at that day of judgment. For every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Is he your Lord? Is what I'm asking you now. And I don't want you to get all excited. Yeah, he's my Lord, or no, he's not my Lord. This is serious business. We here at are trying to mature into the reality that this is life. God talks to us, we do what he says, and we see what he does. We are his servants, he is not ours. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood in to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. We are called kings and priests. We are a royal priesthood. Every time we come into the presence of God, we should stand. When a person of authority comes in, we should give that person the respect he is due. If the president walked in here today, would we not stand, at least give him respect? Whether we voted for him or not is immaterial. It's the office that he represents. And so it is with us that Jesus, when we come in to praise and worship, he enters in. He is in here. But we, with stiff-necked purposes, do refuse him the honor of which he is due. He died for us. He paid the penalty for us on a cross. And yet, we're still rebellious. Verse 15 is the key to my text. We have an account of the Lord speaking to Israel after the confession of who God is to them and asking for his help. The Lord spoke through his prophet Jahaziel to give instruction to them that they were to do as the enemies of God approached to fight Israel. The key is listening. Listen, everyone. Attention. Hear, O Israel. We are spiritual Israel. And we better listen to what God is communicating at this time. Because just because you're saved doesn't mean that your life is pleasing to Him. He tells us at the end that those who do righteousness will be rewarded. Those who did a little bit bad but still were righteous will be beaten with a little bit of stripes. Those who did their own thing will be beaten with much. Check the scriptures out, see if I'm wrong. I love to talk to you about it. Many have already determined the end of something, and then they listen to see if what is spoken fits their agenda. How many of us go to the Lord and tell Him what is good for us? James says we should be quick to hear, slow to speak. Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying? I put it to a place of understanding. We don't understand the truth of the gospel and what Jesus expects of us. Next scripture, Mark 4, 24 and 25. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. This is Christ. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. And be wary of shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity besets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. Mayan says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. I've had people say, well, I've been to Bible college, so that doesn't impress me. I've been to the school of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've had all this going on, so that doesn't impress me. What's the purpose? I used to say to the guys as I was discipling, I would say, so, what's God saying to you? And I still do. What's God saying to you? And don't tell me I don't know. A lot of guys have sat under me and they have tried to figure out another way to say, I really don't know. We have preconceived what to hear. If it doesn't line up with what we want, we're not listening. We have already predetermined how to hear and what to hear. I'll let that sink in a little bit. It's deep. The Hebrew word that Jesus used in this phrase is to purchase or to get more information. He emphasizes the importance in verse 25. If you're paying attention and you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you'll get more. If you don't, and some of us have experienced Kadesh Barnea, we go around the mountain. We get to learn the lesson again. Because we didn't listen to what he was saying. Luke 8:18 says, so pay attention how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. How and what are you listening to? It's critical. It is critical for us to get on his page. When I first came to Jesus Christ, I was just happy getting saved. Hey, I'm not going to hell. But 34 years later, in walking with Christ, I am blown away that God has called me to be a pastor of this work, to be a pioneer of this work. I didn't ask for it. I had a whole set of agendas different than what God has brought about in my life. And those agendas were frustrated. No matter how much I tried to make it happen, it didn't happen. When you respond to his call, your life will change. It is important that we respond to his call. Do you know what he has called you to? God said to me early on, he said he's going to make me in the likeness of Jeremiah. And I cry and I weep over the people of God. That even though we have this tremendous revelation, we still don't want God to be Lord of our lives. And I weep. I cry. He shows me everything about your life. I know things about you that only God knows about you. And yet, I don't reveal them. Why? Because I'm a friend of God. Friends don't tell secrets. You see, there is a process that most of us are unwilling to go through. And I hate processes. I'm in a process right now that I abhor. But I have to go through it. And so do you. What God is calling is an end-time church. He's not calling an end-time individual. He is calling an end-time church that is unified, that is strong in the power of his might, and is completely obedient. We look at marriage as a great mystery. And guys, we want to lord it over our wives, don't we? You got to do what I said because I'm the head of this household. You forget something. She's a team player. There has to be mutual submission for the team to go forward. The only reason you're the head is because you get the final say in things when it's a toss-up. And it better be aligned with God. Positions of the church are the same way. We don't lord it over you guys. Our responsibility as elders is to shepherd the flock of God, to care for you. That when you have hard decisions, we will come together, we will seek the master and find out what he wants to do. Are we listening? Do you hear me, church? For some odd reason, we believe we have options. This word in the second scripture of how we hear is a Hebrew word, shawah. It means to hear intelligently, pay close attention, and be obedient to what you hear. In other words, I'll bring it in today's vernacular. You need to hear what Jesus is saying, and you need to do what he says. Is there options in that? Any option other than what Jesus says is disobedience, which is unbelief, which is keeping us from being unified. We are without excuse. You just don't get it, Pastor. You just don't get it. I think I get it. I think you need to get it. Turn to Acts 13. I want to show you something that all you Bible scholars don't know. Acts 13. I'll get there. Starting in verse 1, it says, and I'm there, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tekart, and Saul. And they all ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them.'" Who's speaking? Who's speaking? The Holy Spirit. When we get together, and I exhort the people of God that if you have a word or something related to us as the local body, we should share it. Withholding information is devastating. Any information that God gives to you that you don't share, you're in sin. And you need to repent. And what we do is we glibly say, "Well, I knew that. I heard that from God." You're not the only one hearing it from God. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Who was it that spoke when the Holy Spirit came? Was it Jehoshaphat? No. Who was it? It was the prophet. Smith. I'll shorten his name up so we understand. That is an example to us about listening. His first words was, "Listen, hear, O Israel, what God Almighty is saying." There is a right way to respond to the voice of God, and there is a wrong way. And as I said, I've sat before the Lord, and I've asked him, and I've repented on behalf of my sin. But some of us, for some reason or another, are believing the lies of the enemy that we still can do whatever we want. Or, as some are believing, "This is not the church for me. This is too tough. I'm not finding the things that I need here." It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus wants. It's about what he is doing, and he will do it at your expense, one way or another. We are trying to get to this level, Acts 13. "I have said to you guys," some of you are apostles, some of you are prophets, some of you are teachers, some of you are pastors, some of you are evangelists. And you, that's nice. That's unbelief. Because we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's his church, not mine or yours. We just assemble together. And when we praise and worship together, I expect God to speak through his people. What is God saying? I know he speaks to me. And I will confirm every word that God speaks to you, for us. Because that's the job of the prophet. Not to tell the church what to do, but to tell the church what God wants it to do. We are trying to get to this place, but there is resistance. Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm just a mere person. Yeah, God understands that, and he still wants to use you. The answer is, will you respond to his call, which I found in my own life was totally different than what I was chasing after? And to be truthful with you, some of you are doing the same thing. You're running away from the call of God. He is in hot pursuit of you. He loves you. He has a great call in your life. And to hear him is to obey him. Period. I give you options. Obey or disobey. Really? I give you the options. The more we pay attention and do what he says, the more we will receive to increase our understanding and obedience. I call that revelation. Everything in the church today is revealed through the Holy Spirit to us. Standard intellectual learning is a waste. It's good for dealing with humans and understanding the human capacity. In the way of the Spirit, it is a waste. It is faulty. It will deceive you. And if you are trying to get more wisdom through education, other than following the call of God into your life, what are you chasing after? I said last week, I didn't get this smart because I just sat before God and did everything perfectly. I got this smart because I was dumb. God had to teach me. I had to submit to him. I can remember one time Irene and I were coming off the Atlantic City Expressway early on in our walk. You remember this? And we found a joint that was still in my car. And so she fires it up. She says to me, here, take a hit. I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. I nearly had an out-of-body experience. See, Jesus educated me to the point that I didn't need a joint to get the revelation. I just needed to be on his page. Do what he says. What he did for me. I can't speak and say, well, you need to do likewise. No. What I need to do is love you so that the Holy Spirit can do his work. And a lot of times what we do is we nudge the Holy Spirit out of the way. We want to do his work. We want to tell everybody how it should be. But the real reality is we're all at different maturity levels. But are we responding to the one and only thing, and that is our call? And are we pursuing the caller to fulfill the call in our lives? That requires us to listen. Jesus said in John 10, he said, my sheep, listen. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Are you listening? Are you one of those individuals that already have a preconceived agenda and you're waiting for some sort of confirmation? It's funny, but there are still some here today that are operating in that, and that's a lie. You are deceived. But I just want to help people, Pastor. Why don't you help people the way God wants you to help them, not the way you want to help them? You see, we want to do the Holy Spirit's job. We want to help them in such a way that we receive the glory for it. God is going to receive all glory and honor and praise in everything. Years ago, I learned that I wanted to help people. And Irene and I, we would try to help people. And it's like we're saying, what is going on? You know, we're trying to help them. And God said, unsanctified mercy. I mean, that was like, what the heck is unsanctified mercy? And the Holy Spirit taught me. Unsanctified mercy is trying to do His job. And trying to save people from the lessons that God has designed for their lives in order to equip them to do His will. And I got beat many times trying to help because I thought I knew the will of God. Just like many of you think you know the will of God. Are you one of His sheep? The Hebrew word here is akuo. It's a Hebrew word. It means to hear, to obey. When I sit at the feet of Jesus, I listen to what He wants me to do so I can be obedient. And many times people say, well, you know, God said this to me. God said that to me. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. And I point my finger at Him. I said, I will only do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. Great suggestions. Your failure to understand that God it may be speaking to you, not to me. I know what my job is. God told me. He told me. Akuu is found in Hebrews 3:7. Hebrews 3:15, Hebrews 4:7, James 1:19, Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 3:13, Revelation 3:22, 13:9. Do you think it's important that we listen and obey? Anytime a word is repetitive in Scripture, it carries a weight of importance. Let's break it down to the family. Gabriel. If mom tells you to do something and you don't do it, what happens? Okay. You get in trouble. What happens? You get punished. Okay. Hey, Nick, you're not going to escape either. You've had more of this than all of them. If you don't do what dad says, what happens? Why? You did not listen and did not obey. And we have to understand that's the training process that God requires in the church for everyone here. I don't try to be nasty. I don't try to be mean. I'm trying to get you to understand the importance of certain principles that operate the kingdom of God. And things don't happen in your life just where we just magically become Harry Potter and it happens. Things happen. Things happen through our obedience. What happens, Gabe, when you're obedient to mom? Okay. How about you, Nick? When you're obedient to dad, what dad says? What happens? Maybe I can help you with this one. Our obedience is rewarded by being able to do more, right? We're able to, if I do my chores, I'm allowed to go out and play with my friends or, you know, spend some time on the computer or game or whatever it is, right? Right? Same thing in the kingdom. If you are disobedient, my scriptures tell me God disciplines those whom he loves. Our failure is we don't recognize God's discipline. Oh, God's mad at me. No, he's trying to get you on his page. Really? When we examine Romans 12:2, the final thing is to know his perfect, his omniscient, his how's the scripture go? Please help me. I'm sinking here. Romans 12:2, to know his will. Good and perfect will. Thank you. His good will is his permissive will. Yeah, it's not totally out of line. He'll let you do that. But he's looking for our perfect will. And when we do the perfect, guess what happens? We get more. Like I said, I didn't get this smart. I got beat up a lot by God. Amen. Amen. What I thought 30 years ago, what God was calling into my life, is not where I'm standing today. What God is calling into your life requires you first to hear and second to respond. Are you his sheep? We are encouraged to hear the Lord more and more and be obedient to his commandments. Our absolute obedience will be rewarded with blessings, and our cost of disobedience will be minimized. We, as a church, need to understand that through one man's disobedience, Achan, Israel did not move forward. Through one person's disobedience in streams, streams cannot move forward. The principle still applies. The bottom line is that to live a successful spiritual life is to live for others through love. To live for others through love. That means we need to engage. We need to be a part, not a part. We need to engage. And I'm not talking about, you know, just living and engaging for our families. We have responsibilities that God has put upon us, and we should all take seriously. But your responsibility to respond to his call is imperative. I can't emphasize that enough. As a prophet of God, I am telling you that we will not go forward until our obedience is unified as a church. And part of that obedience, we want to begin to start shouldering with other churches. We want to start interceding with other churches. We want to unify with other churches. And in the meantime, we want to win the lost who have had an erroneous view of who God is. Because they see the hypocrisy in our lives. It's true, right, Mike? They don't want to hear. You got nothing to say to them until you get on God's page. And that starts responding to His call. The truth is, we're myopic. We only want to see what we want to see. That's why we didn't see it coming. Because we have tunnel vision. And if it doesn't line up with what I want, it can't be God. Can't be God. We can't see the bigger picture that God has, and we are not listening to what God is saying because we have already preconceived what we're going to do in the kingdom. Let me tell you, you will do nothing in the kingdom. And the little that you get to do is because you're a little obedient to the will of God. You're not there. We get to chase other things in life, thinking that the answers are there. I've never met a drunk that had an answer at the bottom of a bottle. In my life, drugs was the big thing. I never found that drugs was the answer. My pain was real. It was. And I would get high to escape. Yeah, I used to have long hair and I was a real hippie freak. But God. I want to exhort you to stop looking what streams can give to you and start looking at what God has given to you for streams. Let's go to I'm going to give you another revelation. Let's go to my favorite book in the Bible, Ephesians 4. Let's go there. All right, Holy Spirit, you're telling me. It's not what you told me to preach, but okay, we're good. Ephesians 4 says, his nose. Start in verse 11. We all know this. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. See, your part is real intricate. I get to hear from God to help you in your ministry to the body. For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. This is why I say I don't want to talk about doctrine. Doctrine is designed for the local church. Yes. But what is happening in another local church may not be applicable to what God is doing here. And so arguing about it brings division. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's not whether I preach a good sermon or not. It's whether I tell you in love And I do love you. I really do. I love you. I couldn't say that a few years ago because I didn't love what God was doing in my life. But each and every one of you can touch another person's life with the love of God and make a difference in their lives. And in that touching of love, you can build them up, you can edify them, you can encourage them. Just like this thing is going to be really devastating. But God is in the midst. A lot of times we come to God, we're filled with pride and arrogance, and we don't want to do what God says to do. So what do? We enlist someone else to do our agenda. That's called manipulation. The Word of God calls it witchcraft. And it is punishable by death. Thank God. Thank God. We have matured past that. Your call is specific. I can't do your call. I won't do your call. I got enough to do in my call. My call says part of my job is to encourage you, to train you in the ways that you should go. But if you already know the answers, you'll separate yourself because that's not what you're looking for. That's not what you're hearing from God. My question is it God? To have a good confession is to allow God to work in our lives. Who is He to you? And when we come together, do we just sit like a bump on a log, or do we just praise Him for who He is and what He's capable of doing? We don't know what He's doing. This is an adventure. It's an adventure. We're on a river ride with God, and He's in control. We get to go with Him. That's why I say I get to do this ministry. I get to pastor and love you guys in such a way that will edify you to be more than you think you could ever be, because His plan for your life is greater than you could ever ask or imagine. That's how awesome my God is. If our confession aligns up with who God is, and our listening skills will be increased. Many people listen, but they don't hear. And those who do listen don't develop the skill of listening to edify not only their lives, but others' lives. God is not interested in what you believe or don't believe. He's interested in our obedience. And when your obedience is complete, look up. For your reward is coming. Are you listening? Did you hear what the Holy Spirit was saying today? Time will tell. He wants you to have a positive confession of who Jesus Christ is. He wants you to do His will. That's why the church exists, to do His will, not ours. He is not so far away that He is not able to save us from the deception that the enemy has tried to wrought in our midst. He is not so far away that He does not want us to cuddle and feel His compassion for us. We're stupid. We're dumb sheep. I'm the chief dumb sheep of them all. But this thing I do know. When you surrender your plans to His, your life changes. When you stop trying to lord over people, we only have one Lord, that's Him. We need to operate through grace. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. We also need to understand where the world is. The world doesn't know anything. It's trying to find answers. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I give them your word. I pray that they have heard your voice. I pray they understand how imperative it is not only to hear your voice, but to carry out what it is that you say for us to do. Help us, Lord God, to become unified as a church. Help us, Lord God, to put that blank piece of paper and say, I want the call. Tell me what it is. And teach me, train me, so I can be the best and most effective servant that you have. Only through our obedience will life change. And it doesn't matter what they do to us. It matters what Jesus does through us. I have said many times, to follow Jesus is going to cost you everything you have and everything that you are. He's about changing our attitudes. He's about changing our behavior. He's about changing the way we think. He's about us submitting to His Lordship. And we as a church will not go any further until that is complete. I ask, God, that you bless your people today. Bless them mightily, Lord God. Help us to listen for your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Give me my hug.